Hello, grandkids, and welcome to a special edition of Stunt Granny Audio, but I'm still going to number it 525. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamino. What's up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself tonight?
Well, I'm sure that I will expound upon my painful day on OPA later in the week. So I will leave the people hanging with maybe the day in mind of when we're actually recording this, because things did not go well for the Pittsburgh football Steelers. So you know, yup, not a great day. So, yeah, but the one thing I did kind of squeeze in around football and in cleaning today was not Absolution, oh my gosh, AIW's Absolute Intense Wrestling's Bobblehead Night, which featured, as you would expect, honestly, D'Lo Brown. How can you go with the Bobblehead Night and not have D'Lo Brown involved?
I don't know how you do that either. Yeah, no, the show was specifically named for D'Lo Brown.
Yep, and it was, to me, a little bit surprising since it was named for him that they had him on third match of the card?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. I was...
No, that was interesting. In fact, actually, really, the two most hype matches of the show came very, very early, because the other match that got probably the most hype going in was the Dominic Greene versus returning to AIW Alex Shelley match that went on second.
It was kind of interesting. It was one of those things that I kind of thought about format-wise. There wasn't any real street fight in the first half of the show, but then there were two of them really in the second half of the card, and I was half wondering if they could have broken those up into different halves of the show. But whatever. I mean, that's kind of minor quibbles. They did separate those two matches, at least within the second half of the card.
They did do that. And also, we'll start from the beginning.
But yeah, first up, we got a tag team scramble. The Bitcoin Boys with the Duke. Aeroform, which is Lewis Linden and Flip Kendrick, the production, and I believe it was Danhausen and who was the is Derek Director, wasn't it? Was the other guy for them?
Oh, you're getting me out of my wheelhouse right there. these matches are terrible. I mean, they're you know, action matches, you know, in the action pack matches in that respect, but for me to, you know, make any connection to who to anyone in the match or even learn their names, yeah, these multi-person matches on you know, AIW shows are not good for that. I really couldn't tell you much about this match, to be honest. Other than I guess I enjoyed it in the moment.
yeah, there was nothing terribly offensive by this match, and there were a lot of bodies involved. It's not fun on Raw. It's not fun in this circumstance, really, either. And the Bitcoin Boys ended up coming out on top of the whole situation, which is not terribly surprising, considering that at the current moment, there are babyface champions, and you need strong heel teams to take them on. So, Bitcoin Boys with the Duke, definitely on the heel side of things. So, it makes pretty logical sense for them to go over.
Yeah, yeah, it was. If they're going to be the next challengers, that and you know, to the babyface champions, yeah, they absolutely should have gone over here. And so if they're who's getting that push, that's good for them. I mean, in a 2-on-2 tag team match, I will certainly get a better feel for the Bitcoin boys, including being able to tell which one is which and remembering their names.
Yeah, I do feel like it's somewhat popular to have chaotic tag team matches that don't necessarily follow what I would consider traditional tag team rules, which means that, you know, like, not everyone's involved all the time, pretty much. You know, you gotta sit on the apron longer than for, you know, 1 minute.
Right.
But, there wasn't anything too crazy going on for this match. And then, that ended up leading into Alex Shelley taking on Dominic Greene. You know, I actually meant to bring Mr. Greene up because I did take some time out and while I was doing some house chores last week, watch some MLW, and I had seen that he had signed with them also, which is good for him, you know. The guy is going to go to another market and get some more exposure.
Yeah, they have television, they have YouTube. For anyone who doesn't get their television in their on their cable or satellite provider, so no, it's good exposure for him. It's good experience for him. They pretty much just run one television taping a month, where they tape about 4 weeks of TV, so he shouldn't miss any time with much time with AIW or any other promotions he works. No, it should definitely be good for him. Interestingly, they. You know, MLW likes to promote fighters and their wrestlers' legit fighting background. So it's kind of funny to, you know, that they're pretty much, you know, acting like this guy. They've signed this guy out of Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournaments, and it's as if he's never wrestled before.
Yeah, they certainly did hype up his jiu-jitsu skills far more than his pro wrestling skills. But, you know, it's going to make a lot of sense if he continues to wrestle without any shoes on.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I've never been big on white wrestlers wrestling without, wrestling in barefoot. It just weirds me out.
So does Matt Riddle weird you out then still?
It did at first. I've gotten used to it with him. Plus, Matt Riddle's just that kind of a weird, kooky guy. So I guess I accept it with Riddle. Well,
it is kind of interesting to. I just think it's kind of strange in general. I just know how easy it is to get have something whack your foot. It just seems like you should have some protection on that when you're dancing around with someone else in a physical environment.
Right. Yeah. No. I would never do that.
So that's the one thing I'm like, man, that is ballsy. This match, I was gonna, because it had been pretty hyped, I guess I expected it maybe to go a little bit longer than it did, honestly. Yeah. Like, I know that these matches don't tend to go all that long, but it's still, like, I guess I don't ever kind of take a gauge on how long a match takes, but I just kind of go off the general feel. And I don't feel like it took any more than 8 to 10 minutes, you know?
No, it didn't. No. AIW is very, very good about being economic with their time that they have on these shows that they put on fight TV for live streaming. Yeah. There's not a lot of waste of time on these shows, and it is appreciated considering how long the average WWE, New Japan, ROH, AEW show can last nowadays.
Oh. yeah, because I'll tell you what, I got ready to tape for this a little bit earlier than I thought, because there were definitely some cleanup spots within the show that allowed me to move on ahead with my viewing, especially in the latter half of the show, that kind of helped me out.
Right.
But anyway, back to Alex Shelley and Dominic Greeny. It was kind of in, out. It was a good match. Alex Shelley ends up going over. I guess I wasn't completely surprised by that.
No. Alex Shelley is of course, advertised for the next AIW show in the main event against Joey Janela and Janela's farewell match from AIW. Not the Indies entirely. It's like he's got a game changer show, at least in the week. In the days following, but yeah, so definitely not surprising that Shelley won the match. I mean, and you know, Greeny is an AIW regular. He runs the training school, but he's also not currently pushed in the title scene for AIW, so he can take a loss here so that Shelley can build himself up for the Janela match, which I will not be ordering that one. But that's just way too quick of a turnaround for me.
yeah, that was one of those situations when they started saying that they're going to do that on Fight TV. I'm like, I'm going to have to start picking and choosing on these things.
Yeah, I think they might too. I think that there was some degree of pressure, from people's like, oh man, I need to see this match. Man, I need to see this match.
So it
wouldn't surprise me if this doesn't do as well as previous offerings from AIW on Fight TV, and they start scaling back on that too. I mean, this in general, as I said, this wasn't intentional. They just said, all right, screw it, let's see how this does.
Yeah, and I mean, it might be worth the gamble just to see how it works, and just go from there. But it's still, I know that I have better financial means at this juncture, but, it also doesn't mean that I want to spend like double what I do on the network, on Absolute Intense Wrestling.
Yeah. Well, it'd be more than double, actually.
Yeah.
Almost triple.
Yeah.
No. Not this time. I'm sure the Black Friday's Thanksgiving weekend show, I will be ready to make an AIW purchase, because that appears to be the next really big show that they're going to do.
Oh yeah, and that's the other thing. They did have a pretty nice card for this one, because next matchup was Big Tuan Tucker, NX Tuan, as a lot of people call him these days, and D'Lo Brown taking on Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham, and I am blanking on who his partner was.
Oh my goodness! I'm counting on you for this part.
Well, I forgot to look it up before starting this show, so I'm gonna have to try and look that up as we talk here. Parker Pierce. Man.
I'll take your word for that.
Yep. It's definitely Parker Pierce.
Okay.
I guess I was not surprised that A that the this is not a big shock that D'Lo Brown won in the show that was named after him.
No, not at all. This match was just there to be a showcase for D'Lo, and a showcase for Tuan, and a big moment for Tuan. They made it very clear. Tuan was pretty emotional about it when he found out that he used to be D'Lo's partner in this match, and being able to team with one of his heroes from his youth. So yeah, no, this match was totally designed for them to have a very dominant win. I mean, Daniel C. Rockingham is more of a manager anyway in AIW, I believe. So this was not meant to be a. And Parker Pierce is not someone that is being given any kind of a push at the moment. So yeah, no. This was just meant to be a fun glorified squash.
Daniel C. Rockingham can come back from that. His thing is all like you said. He's more of a manager slash talker. We'll see. We'll see more of them in the future here. And then the last match before the break was at,
No, there were two matches.
Oh. Did the women's match end the first half?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
There was a singles four-way.
Okey-dokey. Well, yeah, I was going to the singles four-way next. I thought that that was the break, and the ladies led off the second half. So, small error on my part there. Eric Stevens, Lee Moriarty, Zach Thomas, and this was another one I was just going to try to look up because I can't remember who the fourth person was in this match. Because, and while I look it up, I'm not going to worry about it because it's not terribly relevant because he did not take the loss, and he did not factor into the win either. Oh, Wheeler Yuta.
Yes,
That's who it was.
I feel like I enjoyed this show, but man, I'm kind of I wish I would have watched it more recently, I guess, because I just some of these things did not
Not,
make me
not,
feel
nothing's
impressed.
clicking for you.
Yeah, no. I remember that Eric Stevens won, but I couldn't tell you who he pinned.
I want to say that it was Lee Moriarty is who he ended up pinning.
You know, I mean this the you know the Eric Stevens independent run in 2019 has been a one of the nicer stories in independent wrestling. He's in great shape. He's working great. He's working very well, so, and better than very well. So no, it was a good win for him. And according to John Thorne on the podcast, he's on the AW the Card's Going to Change podcast. He's going to be a regular going forward on AIW shows. So he seems like he'll be someone that they're gonna keep pushing and putting into bigger matches.
He certainly has the experience because I believe he was in ROH previously before
Yeah,
taking his break.
he was being pushed very hard and groomed for a top spot by Gabe Sapolsky in his waning days, and then whatever happened, and he left the business for about 9 years, and then came back.
I mean, he really does not look like he's lost too much of a step in there. So it makes sense. Hey, if you have him and he's at a decent price, there's no reason not to use him. Most of the people that he has there are less experienced than Eric Stevens. So pretty much anyone getting to work with him is, you know, still going to be working with a veteran, even if he's a little rusty. But he hasn't looked rusty at all, so that's kind of a good thing. Well, Chris, since you haven't been able to remember anything, do you remember anything about Mercedes Martinez taking on the farewell having Britt Baker?
This match I definitely remember. Yes. Yeah, no. This was a pretty good match. That although there are points in the match where I felt like Britt was a step behind. Got me maybe a little concerned about her health as related to her concussion issues. But I don't think it seemed to be that. But overall, though, it was a good match. And Britt Baker, you know, left on her back and put over Mercedes Martinez, who was making her first match in AIW, which right now isn't regularly booking women's wrestling. When Shayna Baszler got signed by WWE, they lost their women's champion and never crowned a new one. So, women are kind of a special attraction when they can, book the right two to go against each other. And this was one of those nights where they had the right two to go against each other. They had, Britt is an AIW school trainee, one of the more, maybe the most probably the most renowned AIW school trainee from the Johnny Gargano years, where Gargano was in charge of the training school.
Right.
So it was good for her to say this goodbye to AIW, and she had a good opponent. This was nice.
I kind of agree with your entire assessment there. I did think that there were a couple of clunky spots there in the match that maybe made it not the best, but it was still a very good match. I do think that both of those ladies are capable of a better match. I'll at least put it that way. But still worth watching. It was a good one. Like you said, Martinez ends up winning it. The one thing that we have not talked about, and I don't know how I've gotten this far without talking about it, but the intermission led to multiple people coming into the booth and taking over. But I forgot that the regular commentator, Matt Wadsworth, was unavailable. I'm trying to remember what the reason was, but they had a real cavalcade of announcers for this show, more so than the other two that we've watched, and it was something else.
Yeah, no. It was interesting starting the show off with John Thorne on commentary. He provided a different, style of commentary, almost like, because he's the promoter, almost like watching a DVD commentary version of commentary, as opposed to any kind of attempt at doing a running play-by-play. So that was interesting, and then. Then the commentary, it was Weird Body, and what's the other guy's name?
Alex Worldwide Keller.
Oh, that's Worldwide, yeah, okay, yeah, yes. Well, familiar with both of them from the Cards Going to Change podcast, yes. I don't know, I turned off the intermission show. I was just, I thought it was kind of a mess myself. I was like, yeah. I mean, the last one they did was Vance Warner and MJF riffing on each other. That was great. This did not do it for me.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with those kind of segments. Is it's easy to kind of be ambivalent to them. Like, sometimes they're going to work, other times they're not. Like, it's just kind of the nature of the beast. And, it definitely was in the, I was in it more for the train wreck-ness of the segment than for the quality of the segment.
Right. I don't know. For some reason, even the part of me that appreciates a good train wreck didn't think that it landed in that regard either.
Gotcha.
I mean, it seemed, especially when they were talking to D'Lo Brown, it just felt like they were just starstruck and didn't even know what to ask him. Especially Weird Body.
Well, yeah, I don't think he asked anything. At all. So, yeah, I still did forget to, I remember being starstruck about D'Lo Brown way back in the day when he was actually on TV, and that was a long time ago, and I wish I had fished out that picture, and I cannot say that I've looked for it, either my own or Jeremy's. With the one and only D'Lo. I will have to do that with the companion piece for this show at some juncture. But you gotta give me a little more time. Yeah, they were very starstruck, and it's just like, whew, man, I don't it at this point I just feel like that should be worn off.
Yeah, it should. They've been around bigger stars at this point. No offense to D'Lo Brown.
Yeah, D'Lo's the man.
Yes, he definitely is.
Well, after the break, we got our first murder-death-kill match since Nick Gage was involved, and he was taking on Wes Barkley. And Mr. Barkley, much to no one's surprise, ended up getting help from his stablemate slash mostly the wrestler, Josh Bishop.
Yeah, no, that was good, and the attack with the kendo stick from the crowd that had an element of shock and danger to it. Because at first you don't know. You don't realize who it is attacking Nick Gage. I don't believe a fan would attack Nick Gage with a kendo stick. But but no, it was well done. It was well shot, and you know it gave at least a little bit of an excuse. It gave an excuse for Wes Barkley to get a little bit of offense in on Nick Gage with the constant interference, but in the end, of course, he'll meet his communication. Bishop gets taken out and left to his own devices. Barkley gets murdered by one Nick Gage. and then had his watch stolen. Which was good. Just
fun. And then it was thrown into the crowd, I believe.
Yeah.
It'll be amusing to see if Wes Barkley pleads for his watch on a subsequent podcast from these guys. It seems like the thing for him to do. But after that, we started our run of title matches. Three title matches to end this card. The first of which was the Philly Marino Experience, or PME, taking on To Infinity and Beyond, which is Colin Delaney and Cheech.
Yeah, this is another one of those matches that didn't exactly hold my attention very much, because I'm pretty sure now I've seen, including both nights of the J-Lit, 5 AIW shows live on Fight, and I'm pretty sure I've seen some iteration of these two teams against each other on all of them.
Yeah, that would be a lot to take in. I think I've watched one less of their pay-per-views than you. So maybe that's a... Well, I can't say it really helped me out. I do think that I'm... I hope that for many a reasons, this clean win by PME ends things so that they can move on to...
Bigger and better things. I mean, PME seems like a very good team. It's just, Tiffany and Beyond just comes off very generic to me. Colin Delaney, of WWE CW fame, somehow getting an improbable run with WWE, short run with WWE, and then it's hard for me to take him seriously. I mean, he's filled out a little bit more. He's a little bigger, but it's just one of those guys. This is like he's just very indie.
Oh yeah, he's not getting back to the big time. I don't think ever.
No. I mean, it was one of those joke deals that they got him there in the first place. So I was just like, I'm not really big on him and the whole Fitting and Beyond thing. I'd be interested in seeing PME against more teams, against more different teams. As we'll see with the Bitcoin boys, hopefully going forward.
The intense title is always defended first. I don't feel like any of the shows it has been defended is the main event.
But on that night, at Marblehead night, it probably should have been. Because this ended up being the best match on the show. It was wild. It was crazy. They did everything you could do, including a pile driver through two tables that still was kicked out of.
Yes. Yeah, this was Mance Warner taking on defending champion Matthew Justice. It was nice of referee Tom Dunn to hold up the table so that they could execute the spot without killing themselves.
But one Matthew Justice is known to do much crazier things. So someone said that I'm not sure exactly what the rest of Matthew Justice's indie schedule was over the weekend, but they said, well, that's probably the safest bump he'll take all weekend. It was best match on the show. Mance Warner is definitely good in this environment, as is Matthew Justice. It was a kind of an impromptu hardcore deathmatch type situation, although isn't the Intense Championship pretty much always anything goes?
Yes.
Yeah,
they don't specifically state that, or at least they don't state it enough to make it definitely sink in, but I do feel like it's always at a minimum relaxed rules kind of a situation.
This ended up being my favorite match on the show. I'm not the biggest fan of the kick out from the pile driver through two tables, but they pretty much finished the match not too far after that, including Death Valley driver through the table, which to the other table standing in the corner that seemed like that looked sufficiently brutal to end the match.
Yeah. Like you said, luckily they didn't. They kind of went beyond where I'd normally go, but they did not go completely bonkers as far as that situation went.
At least the match didn't end on a roll-up.
Oh, that would have been ridiculous at the highest level.
Yeah. No, as I said, this probably should have closed the show, although as has been argued lately, the your main singles championship should the argument that your main should always close the show regardless. It's not always going to be the best match on the show, and on this night, it definitely was not. They decided. I mean, they at the end of Absolution, they ran the angle for a future title match between Josh Bishop and Tom Lawler, but have decided to hold that off until the next time they're at the Odeon on Black Friday. So they decided to run with KTB as the challenger. KTB had, had an impressive showing Jaylit Weekend and at other points in AIW, I believe, given the title shot, but it was definitely a situation where no one believed he had a chance.
Yeah, I guess that's not a bad thing to
Yeah, no,
have.
it was a it was a clear win for Filthy Tom, and Filthy Tom is someone with his UFC credibility that you should protect and have be a dominant champion. Otherwise, why would you have him be your champion?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was not too surprising. They ended up running an angle with Josh Bishop coming out and trying to attack with Tom Lawler after the match, in which they officially announced the match at the Black Friday event. And I'll tell you what, if I was around, it would it could possibly be a very busy day that day. There's a lot of good activities on that Black Friday to attend to. but yeah, that should be a better matchup and one that there's more of a chance that Lawler drops the belt than in this match on this
Right,
show on Bobblehead Night.
no, they, Bishop is one of their, tentpole local guys that, it's on every show, pushed heavily, between him and Matthew Justice. No, so yeah, that'll definitely be pushed as a bigger title match for Filthy Tom, and one that where his championship would certainly be more in jeopardy.
Well, that makes it through the entire card. Do we want to have any final thoughts before I guess did you like this the more, the same,
It
less than
was
previous?
probably I guess I guess I would put this as my least favorite AIW show I've seen so far, though so still a very good show and entertaining way to spend an evening on Friday night when I had nothing else going on, and if I would have gone out, I would have spent a lot more money anyway. Spent a lot more than $12.99 anyway. So no,
Yeah.
it was good. It was a good night of entertainment. I don't let it, don't fool be fooled by, my lack of memory for some of these matches. I'm still, I still only watch an AIW show like every couple of months, and I'm not totally familiar with the bottom, certainly the bottom half of their roster, who they seem to always put in, multiple person matches that where no one really stands out personality wise, so that I really learn anything about them. But the key matches delivered. It was a strong. It looked like a strong card going in, and it lived up to that. I enjoyed the show a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a good summation. So I'm just gonna say I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.